these cases, at least I think two of the three were fatalities, fatal automobile accidents where there was a question of fault with respect to one of the spouses who was deceased. And did the children in the one case or could the surviving spouse?
Yeah. And in those cases, the courts articulated reason, that is to say, we must discourage such lawsuits because they would have an undermining effect on the marital relationship, no longer existed. Those were circumstances in which the court articulated a reason which wasn't the real reason for its opinion, for its decision. The real reason for its decision in the old days was that the court did not want to encourage fraud on insurance companies. Two couples or married couple getting together claim one was negligent against the other, knowing that the source of funds for compensation would not be the spouse but rather an insurance company. And in order to, they couldn't say that as the rationale for a decision. They articulated the rationale as being for the purpose of preserving the sanctity of marriage.
There's another case that, as I understand it, is a definitive case procedurally in Michigan. In Re Woods Estate, do you remember that, where you wrote on the evidentiary effect of presumption?
Yeah. Presumption of undue influence. The first case I argued in the Michigan Supreme Court after I left the bench was a case in which In Re Woods was controlling. I represented the estate of Matilda Wilson.
Oh.
And there were a lot of dollars riding on that in that case on appeal. I also represented yes. There was also another case in which I represented the estate of someone by the name of Toma, T-H-O-M-A. And that case got to the Supreme Court involving this very issue that was involved in the Matilda Wilson case. And I remember arguing the case, and John Duffners, who wrote against me in Ray Wood, saying to me from the bench, Mr. Justice Earth, do I understand you to be saying to this court that if you were still a member of the court, today you would be much less inclined to sign the opinion you signed in In Re Wood and much more amenable to the reasoning of your opinion in the court? And I took the opportunity to say, Mr. Justice Duffners, you and I continue to disagree upon the meaning of In Re Wood. And I explained to him again that my purpose of the majority's meaning in that case, the holding in that case, was that once there is any evidence of benefit to a fiduciary, then there is a presumption of undue influence that can be rebutted. In the case of Toma, and as it turned out in the case of Matilda Wilson, there was no evidence of benefit to the fiduciary. There was simply the fact that the fiduciary wrote the instrument.
Didn't put himself in it.
That's right. So, and that's the way he wrote the opinion in Toma. And that opinion got me off the hook. And Wilson, because the heirs in Wilson, having seen the Toma, decided not to appeal.
Well, now, is not this still the law of Michigan?
But it is.
Okay. Is this a common principle of jurisprudence across the country?
No, it really isn't, and I'll tell you why, Roger. In Re Wood, at that time, was the only or one of the very few opinions on this subject of undue influence and presumption, linking the two, that analyzed carefully the procedural way in which presumptions are handled by court. Mm-hmm. Most decisions involving presumption simply refer to the concept of presumptions and reach the conclusion without analysis. And here you had facts that required careful analysis in order to demonstrate that the scrivener in Wood, if I recall correctly, had in fact benefited from his handiwork. And it was that which gave rise to the presumption. But that's only the beginning of the analysis. Then you have to explain that the presumption is a rebuttable one, not an irrebuttable one. And why is that so? Well, you go through the litany of why it's so, and then you have to analyze the facts to determine that, in this case, the presumption was not rebutted.
The courts back in prior to this time were just so-so with undue influence.